There you go.
Lets you know.
Yes.
Hey, Michelle, thanks for doing this. I thought it, you know, you had talked to Brendan and I about how nutrition obviously is crucial, and everybody's different. So I thought it'd be cool for us to sit down and maybe have you get the opportunity to go into a little bit of detail, you know, about what it means to eat like an athlete, to eat like a cyclist, and how that can affect performance. And so let's do it.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Tell us about yourself and how you got into this and everything.
Sure. So first, thank you for the opportunity. It's always really fun to talk about something I actually really, really love doing. How I got into this? Well, so I went to school for nutrition and dietetics. And so I've been a registered dietitian since 2005. So it's been a while. And I've kind of worked along the whole spectrum. So I've done weight management, I've worked with kids, adults, et cetera. And the place where I like really love is sport nutrition. So right now, I kind of do this as my fun, like, thing to do to help people out, and more importantly, to help athletes actually perform at their best, because they're doing so much work in the gym and on the bike or running. And the one little thing that like helps give a lot of athletes the edge is their nutrition. So if they can tighten that up, they can definitely perform a whole lot better. So tons of opportunity for nutrition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's more than just a marginal gain. It's really, food is fuel. It, what you put in really matters. And it's not necessarily an easy process. Just, you know, okay, I'm going to eat like an athlete. You know, where do you even begin? So, right. I mean, so how do you start to make these informed decisions? Like, what's the first, when you first talk to somebody, or like very generically, like what's the starting place for you?
Sure. So for me, I think I really try to get the lay of the land. So understanding each athlete's environment, be it their training environment, to their home life, their work life, et cetera, their food preferences, what they really enjoy, what they really hate. And then I try to get a hold of their nutrition goals. Now, nutrition goals are wholly tied up in training goals too, right? So a person who's striving to do X, Y, or Z in their training, you know, may have a ton of opportunity in nutrition to get there. And so once we kind of get all of those goals aligned and start to evaluate where are those opportunities for improvement, we can start to pick away at all of those little pieces that can use improvement and make those sustainable changes over time. So it's not like a light switch. I can't just turn it on and say, here, tomorrow you're going to be an Olympian because your nutrition's better. A lot of this takes time. And so working those in, we try to get every aspect of the athlete's life kind of wrapped up into these goals.
So yeah, the thing that comes to mind for me is like you have refueling and then rebuilding. So could you kind of go into, you know, specifically for, I mean, cyclists, it's an aerobic sport. You're doing a lot of high kilojoule demanding repetition of, you know, you got intervals on intervals and long endurance rides. So, you know, what is like a broad refueling strategy, and how does that differ from like rebuilding, you know, when muscle damage versus like versus being, you know, having your energy stores fully ready to go when you start a hard workout versus recovering from that workout?
Sure. So I kind of think about it in three parts. So we have kind of your stores, how you are, you know, how you've fueled yourself on a day-to-day basis that set you up for how do you go into a hard workout, how do you go into a race, and so on. So that's kind of the first setup. Like, are we set up for success there first? And then inside the workout, you want to fuel during, right? Because we can't just ignore that we're using energy during. So that's the second piece. And then the third piece is kind of, as you're pointing out, that recovery, that rebuild phase. So those three pieces, once you get them lined up, each one can kind of take on its own life, if you will. There are certain goals within each, and they're all different by athlete. So, you know, long endurance athletes are going to be different from power short interval type athletes. All of these kind of, there's some micromanagement to it, be it fluid, hydration, electrolytes. Then we have carbohydrate utilization, whether or not your body's really good at using fat stores versus do you need more glycogen stores and so on. And then your recovery, you know, if you're doing heavy, hard, weight intensive workouts versus just a long endurance ride, or even just a regular recovery, each of those require a different kind of fueling for rebuilding. Outside of all of that, we take a look at micronutrients too. So your vitamins and minerals that play a part in either ATP genesis, so making your energy during workouts, or for rebuilding. So your antioxidants, are you really good at taking in all of those to fight inflammation and help, you know, build muscle and recover faster so that you can hit that next workout? So all of those pieces can really, I guess, add up to a full-time job in trying to look at it all and piece it all together. So I guess that kind of makes it really hard for the day-to-day regular athlete to navigate and figure out what to do.
Yeah, definitely. Anytime I start working with somebody who's never been coached, like on the bike, in terms of just executing a 5x5 interval, you say, okay, do a 5x5. It's very basic. Everybody knows what it is, but there's, even within that, there's a lot of pieces to getting it just right. And really it's just getting it just right is what you need to do. I did the workout is one thing, but really executing like 100% is a lot harder. Mm-hmm. So you were talking about, you know, this eating for the demand. So like, what would like eating for, you know, we both do a ton of the Zwift and you race the USA Crit series. Mm-hmm. Like, so what is the difference, that you would say, like, for, I have a 60 minute Zwift race versus, a 4 hour, Grand Fondo, like what would somebody do very broadly differently between those two things, like before the event or after the event?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So I always preface everything with each athlete's a little bit different. So what are you going to do before? Has a lot to do with what your stomach can handle, right? Some folks can eat decently before a race or a ride, and some cannot. And so we kind of manage that. But inside the actual event, we're talking about two different, very different nutrient utilization patterns. So we have like a really short race that's really high intensity. You still need some carbohydrate to help fuel that and to tell your brain we're ready to go and we can do this. But then in the longer endurance rides, you're going to burn through your glycogen stores and you're going to need to continue to fuel. So those longer endurance rides are going to take a whole lot more planning. It's going to need, it depends on the level the athlete's at, but you might want to micromanage like hour by hour or half hour by half hour, what they're taking in for fluid, for electrolytes, for carbohydrate. So that's kind of the difference. Now, I might be a little bit of a lazy athlete sometimes in my crit racing because there's like very simple things to do. I drink my electrolytes, I have my quick carbs right before, and then I finish my drink during my ride, maybe if I can get to my bottle in between the corners. But like, they're two totally different strategies.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So as I got a specific question. I'm recently, you know, I'm definitely carbs are king, sort of. I think I the hotter I run, the more I want to just be just running on carbs. And so I've gotten into the habit of popping like a, oh, and I'm also parenting is tiring. So I'm always tired. So I've gotten into the habit of popping like a 75 milligram caffeine gel before starting a race. You know, what would you say like the ideal timing for that would be? Would it be like right at your 3-2 gel go, or like 5 minutes out or 15 minutes out? Because that's something I've played around with. I don't necessarily think I've come up with the optimal solution. And what would you say there?
Yeah, I don't
something
know.
Like that.
I don't know if there's a perfect answer, but I would definitely say with a bunch of experimentation that about the 15 minute mark to me is like the sweet spot. Get you a little bit of absorption before your blood flow starts going to your muscles instead of your stomach and you get a big old stomach ache. So, you know, like I said, everybody's a little bit different. Some people can do like something way more complex, and there's some of us that like have to have the gel or can only do carbs in their drink, something like that. But definitely I think 15 minute mark is that sweet spot.
Okay, cool. Cool. Yeah. So, I mean, what I'm hearing is it depends, right? It always kind of just depends. Sure. And everybody's a little bit unique. What does it look like when you kind of intake a new athlete who needs, and who, like, if you had to really put your finger on it, who's, I mean, obviously if everybody had a nutritionist and somebody like observing them, they would perform better. But like, who's somebody in your experience that really needs this? Like that is really like so far off base or so incapable of sorting out like the major points on their own. Like, do you have a general recommendation there?
Sure.
Who really is gonna?
Yeah. Who really benefits? So there's two ways, I guess, you can look at that. Like who's going to see the biggest change, right? Like, obviously somebody who doesn't have the time to manage their day-to-day nutrition. Maybe they don't know how to cook, or maybe they don't know how to put together, you know, their proteins, carbs, fats, and in a meaningful way. And maybe timing's difficult for them. Those are going to be the people that have a lot of opportunity, because they just really don't know what to do or don't have time to figure it out, which is completely, you know, normal. On the other end of the spectrum, though, we have a lot of athletes who really do care about their nutrition and do a lot of things for it. But like you said in the beginning, cycling is like all about marginal gains. So like, if you can fix like three minute things about your nutrition, and then you can execute every workout the way you intended, and then you perform better because you've got really good at doing those workouts, then to me, that's a big gain as well. Then you're not like shooting in the dark and wondering whether or not, you know, what I ate for breakfast today is actually going to do me well in this race or that race.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Supplements or not? How do you approach that? Are you all food, or do you like a good multivitamin in the mix? What do you tend to tell people? Or do you have like a gold standard, like, oh yeah, everybody should be taking this?
Yeah. I kind of take a, if it doesn't hurt mentality, then it's okay. Obviously always evaluating supplements for whether or not they're safe, and whether or not you're allowed to take them. That's a kind of a primo thing I always look at. The second piece is whether or not we're already meeting something by our nutrition. If we're already eating those nutrients, or even in some cases overeating some nutrients, then I definitely tell my athletes to kind of stray away from it. You know, there's so much focus on protein in sport. And I think that a lot of people don't realize that they actually do get a lot of protein. I've yet to meet an athlete that doesn't get enough protein at baseline. But there's a time and a place, and it doesn't mean food is always the answer. Sometimes we just don't feel good or we're on the run, and there's a good, easy way to kind of get that recovery in. And that's fine too. But, you know, if it doesn't hurt and it fits in and you want to do it and there's no harm, then I don't see a problem with it.
Yeah. Yeah, the protein thing is interesting. I definitely used to fall into that trap myself in past years. But you know, it's interesting. After my son was born, like it was right around the time COVID was going crazy, and like everybody else in the world, I got really into making bread, and I stuck with it. Unlike everybody else.
I'm totally
hooked. And I noticed a huge performance jump. I noticed that I was feeling better workout to workout day to day. I could stack rides better. I had less fatigue in the legs. And I think I was chronically under carbed, to be honest. Like, but all carbs are not created equal. Like, I mean, you can get 50 grams of carbs from a bag of candy, but you can also get 50 grams of carbs from three slices of bread.
Right.
Could you kind of just talk a little bit about like complex carbs versus fast carbs versus, you know, when is it appropriate for each?
Sure. So we mentioned a little bit earlier about the gel packets, like before a race, like that's a quick carb. And when your body just needs to have a quick carbohydrate source so that it absorbs, as we say, quick, so fast, that's where those things really play in. Where food kind of fits into the rest of our lives though, like sure, you could, if you wanted to micromanage and like have 50 grams of carbohydrate in this drink or gel or whatever, but we're also human. So there's not only other nutrients in the food, but the food also serves a purpose in helping us feel fulfilled. We feel full. And those longer acting carbs will give our body time to absorb it and give not that big glucose spike. We're not having high insulin surges after that. And the more you can keep those pieces, I guess, in harmony, like we're not having huge spikes. We're not quickly rushing into our cells and so on and so forth, and then giving extra nutrients. Those are the times where we're going to be able to feel like we're actually nourishing ourselves. We're actually nourishing our glycogen cells and our glycogen stores. And like, it's all going to, it'll come out in the end. You'll feel better. You're going to have more recovery. You're going to, you know, use good things. And sure, you could live off candy if you wanted to, but it wouldn't feel very good.
No, your stomach would hurt all the time. Constantly be craving who knows what.
Oh my God.
Yeah, the insulin spikes are brutal. I mean, if your blood sugar is kind of all over the place, it's just not a fun place to live. I don't know how long we're at, but do you have a time when it's worth, is there like a time when micromanaging nutrition is really valuable? So, you know, if you're looking over somebody's nutrition plan, is there specific points in the day or timing within a week that is better or worse to really, really hone in? So, you know, in a perfect world, we all give 100% of our focus to everything at all times, but that's not how anything works. So like if somebody had to choose to give 100% perfect focus at any specific times, when would you say those times would be to really nail it?
Sure. One of the things that I talk to my athletes about for success is what I call flexible eating. And To me, that's being able to take into account some of these other, you know, nuances like life, kids, work, et cetera. And being able to kind of flex to that and be okay with not micromanaging. So that's one piece. But to your point, where it really matters is around your workouts and around your races, your performance, and where you're really trying to kind of nail those efforts. Because if you don't feel good going into a workout, you're never going to nail those efforts, right? And if you don't feel good during the workout to the best of your ability, I mean, workouts hurt, right? But if you don't feel good doing it as much as you can, then we fail. And failure is part of our workouts too, but, you know, to a certain degree, if we can prevent that, at least from a nutrition perspective, let's do it. And the last is after. So post-workout, depending on what kind it is and what the goals are, there really are there's really good data around recovery and recovery nutrition. And so it's not much. It's real moderate amounts of protein, but getting the carbohydrate in and refueling with fluids. But that piece means that all of the work that you did in your workout will then be, will persevere, right? So you fuel up those muscles and you give them the recovery. And that means that growth is able to occur in the time that you rest. And then the next time you come back, you can hit the next workout or you can hit that next race. So I would say before, just before, during, and after are the biggest pieces for micromanagement, I think.
Totally. Yeah. I definitely. Okay. I think I got one more question then if you wanted to make any other points. So seasonal eating, that's something I've heard, you know, Paul Check and like kind of intuitive eating is something people talk about, and, you know, what you would eat during the winter season would be different than what you eat during the spring and summer season when there's more fresh things around. How does that sort of, I mean, do you think there's any validity to that? And how does that kind of, how does that affect an athlete's choices?
Yeah. I believe too that seasonal eating, so eating the things that are fresh as much as possible and where you live too, can be both a personal, it could be a nutritional choice, but it could also be an environmental choice. I think everybody has the opportunity to work with that. It's going to look different for each person. Obviously somebody who lives in the Pacific Northwest is going to eat differently from somebody who like lives in the South and has more fresh fruits and vegetables year round. It's going to be different no matter where you are. There are ways to get in the things that you need though. And that's okay. We can do frozen fruits, for example. We can do those in smoothies. You can throw them in oatmeal. There's different ways to get those nutrients in. Being flexible with your environment means too, like we're going to have a lot more squash in the winter. We're going to have different balances. So that's kind of one piece of it. But when you said like seasonal eating, I started to think, well, everybody's going to go into this winter season of like, you know, holiday eating and, you know, training during the holiday, you know, and all that fun stuff. To me, that said, that was like a big red flag of like, we're just going to eat whatever we want and then hit the training again in January. and that kind of stuff drives me bananas.
Yeah. It's such a shame when you have these people who put in all this work and then like, well, I'm just going to put a pause button. Well, it's not really a pause button. It needs to be a lifestyle.
Right.
It's not, you know, eating like an athlete, training like an athlete is a permanent lifestyle. You can't just off and on it. That does not work.
Right. Right.
I think that covered just about everything I was thinking of. Oh, I got one more. And this is just in a personal side. I tend to feel good or like my instincts in like the day before or maybe the day of event or like a really hard workout, I tend to go more like vegetarian and stuff that's going to keep me feeling kind of light and not weighed down. And then like, so for example, like I don't crave a burger, like the night before a race. That just doesn't like really hit home to me.
Yeah.
But I sure do like after, or like the next day, you know, if there's nothing else like running into it, is that nonsense or is there something maybe to that? Like, I don't want to be weighed down by my food, leading up to something that I an important workout or important race. I'd rather do that after. Is that totally nonsense or am I onto something there?
I think you might be onto something. Some of those heavier meals that just sit really hard and just don't really make you feel energized are probably not great choices before a race or a big ride. Okay. And there's not a ton of vitamins, minerals in that necessarily, as compared to like a pasta primavera with like tons of bright veggies and maybe a sorbet for dessert or, you know, sounds things amazing. Like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
you could go a
sounds
lot more.
Sounds like energy.
Yeah. It sounds like those carbs.
Yeah. Bingo.
Those carbs and energizing vegetables.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to keep things moving the way you want them to be moving. And it's going to give the stores what the stores need.
Yeah. That's a whole other topic we could get into.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to have any final thoughts? Like how do people reach you if they have questions, anything? Why don't you do a little send off for us?
Sure. Not sure how you put notes on the slide or notes on the,
yeah,
on the interviews and deck. You can tag me, find me on Instagram. I'm Michelle Cycles on Instagram. Have my personal email. You can pass that out as well. But I think, my biggest takeaway, that I'd like people to walk away with is that everybody can probably make a little bit of small steps, to improve their eating around their, fitness. And small steps really are the path. So picking a couple things that you can choose this week or next week just to improve on, will always give you a little bit more of an edge. And give yourself permission to deviate. We tend to be really regimented as cyclists, especially. And that's not sustainable. And I think it's important to find ways to make everything fit, but you can still make little adjustments here and there. So I'm happy to help. I love working with folks and this kind of one of my favorite things to do. So
it feels good to help people figure out their goals. And yeah, that's what you're doing.
When I get a text message that says, I killed this workout or I feel amazing, that's like, it makes me all teary-eyed. I just love it. So
that's what it's about. Yeah. Yeah. Being in the business of helping people reach their goals and do things that they, you know, on their own might not have known how to do or just felt like they couldn't do. And that's a great feeling. Thanks for doing this. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. Cheers.
I'll see you soon.
Bye. See ya.